Powerlands. Went through the fans, looking for some friends. Tom saw me scram, so he brought me back again. Cause I'm alive, Powerlands. Powerlands. You got to follow where he's going. Gotta take you in the promised land. Powerlands. Powerlands. Tried many moves, tried getting loose, tried petting zoos, but I knew they wouldn't do, cause I'm a lamb, Powerlands. You gotta follow where he's going, gotta take you in the promised land, Powerlands. Powerlands.
Well, greetings everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight. Got a great program for you. Want you to stay tuned. We're going to go into part four of the digital codes. And tonight we're going to deal with a very important subject, and that is, it's upon the DNA effects. Somebody's tinkering with it. Somebody's programmed it. And can the potter say to the clay, or is it the clay saying to the potter now, why have you made me thus? It's a question, ladies and gentlemen. It's answered time and time again in the Bible. And we're under the control of someone or some things that probably we'd be scared if we knew the whole truth. There's things going on tonight, ladies and gentlemen, around the world that begs an answer. Now, we're going to talk about the esoterical and the spiritual revelations that is known for ages by the ascended masters, those who know. You ever wonder why that there are certain groups of people that sort of like birds of a feather? They believe sort of the same things generally. They don't have to have much teaching. All they have to have is the correct path or the knowledge of the correct path. The Bible said, how can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? And that the straight and narrow way is an exclusive way that the DNA sequences would somewhat resemble a spoken language. Now, in that I mean, the Bible says, how can you hear? Well, that's a spoken language. And yet, there's people that can't hear. Even as you speak the language, it's alien to them. They're not programmed to receive it. Well, don't the Bible say, my sheep hear my voice? Who did that? Somebody programmed the DNA. Have you ever felt like that sometimes you were like an orphan? You know, that was adopted and you never got to meet your real set of parents parented you or brought you into being. Well, sometimes you could justifiably think that simply because the latest research says that human DNA acts like a biological version of the internet. Yet the DNA of the human, some that I'm specifically going to, cut out of the herd, We're not, you know, those who accept the things that are not. That's a faith walk, a venture of faith. Some things you just know by instinct. Something programmed into your DNA. Who would have done that as opposed to other set of say, like parents, that would program your DNA opposite? For instance, light and darkness. It's opposites. It's a paradox. In regards to truth and a lie, some people can believe the truth, and some people want to believe a lie. And the Bible says the consequences of believing the truth is life, but persecution, rejection, humility, being mocked and scorned. See, the DNA that's plugged into the resonance or the reactors, if you will, these little nuclear reactors that produce sparks of life from a DNA code that were put there, programmed by language, words, or thought. Somebody pre-existed and thought about our DNA to program it to believe a certain set of rules. I was born to serve Yahweh. Now, my road to getting to Him was treacherous. The Bible said, after many afflictions, you will find the truth. It's just like digging for gold. Or panning for gold. You know, if gold was plentiful and nuggets the size of your of a half a dollar, let's say, were plentiful, everybody would be out panning for gold, but gold would be worthless. The reason that gold is such a high price is because it's rare. Gold tried in the fire. Now, the fire is your biological reactors programmed to act in such a way that you have a digital code programmed by the master computer programmer. That would be your creators, or the creator, if you like that. I do believe there's more than one in on the creation factor. Let me give you a little example of what I'm talking about. If you go back to the book of Genesis, and you read in chapter 10 and 11 a sequence of DNA biological reactors that are programmed to one set of codes. That was the language code. Words and thought were at one time everybody thought and acted. Their programmed was similar. There wasn't any different language codes, digital codes, plugged into the DNA sequence. We were all on the same page, at least this group of people I'm reading about in the book of Genesis. They thought the same, they acted the same, and then something happened. We have an interference with someone else that violated the digital codes. We had Satan and his angels in rebellion. Now, the Bible talks about rebellion being as the art of witchcraft. Has someone purposely altered or changed these receptors that we have to receive the instructions? And some cannot receive the truth because they're programmed to miss it. Satan has lied to people, and there's evidence, if you will, that DNA can be influenced and reprogrammed by words and frequencies without cutting out and replacing a single gene. They're now getting into splicing genes. This information available all the time. Were the ancients who programmed us to use only 10% of our brain, is that an act of our father or the fathers or the creators or the creator? However you would like to have it. I believe that Yahweh and the angels is nothing more than intelligent beings that are a little higher than we are. And according to what I suspect, our DNA is not only responsible for the construction of our body, but it also serves as a means of data storage and communication, and we act a certain way because we've got a code, a digital time code, upon our DNA sequence. We're made in such a way to either honor or dishonor. Let's, for instance, give you an example. With the whole earth in one language, they begin to act in unison. In other words, the DNA receptors were already programmed to act in such a way, and they all acted in thought to let us build a tower into heaven. Let us go back and find what that really is telling me. I'm convinced that this was programmed deliberately. And we're still doing this. Subconsciously, you may not know it, but you are. Our government's doing it. Every time we shoot up a rocket, we're looking for somebody out there. They might not say that, but that's the whole purpose. Otherwise, if we thought we were alone, there was nothing out there but deep space, and nobody out there, we wouldn't bother to go out there and look around. We're going out there because we're programmed to do that. Now, whether it be good or bad is not the issue here. The fact is we've been programmed in that way. And in Genesis 10, that's what they were doing. They were going out, building a tower. Well, let's go to the rockets. They're towers. These are gigantic, powerful motors that are sitting on ships, if you will, that can travel in space. And they shoot them out into space, hurl them out into space. And what are they looking for? They said, let us build a tower whose top would reach into heaven. They're looking for the ancestors, the DNA matching codes. Satan's got a code, I believe, a frequency, I believe. Now, the Russians, who are very advanced in DNA scientific research, directly or indirectly, they explain or try to attempt to break down this phenomena, such as clairvoyance, intuition, spontaneous reaction, remote acts of healing, viewing, self-healing, affirmation techniques, unusual lights, reading auras, the mind's influence, weather patterns, and much more. We know by the Bible sequencing that we know of Elijah. His mind influenced the weather, and it didn't rain for 3 years. What caused that? Was there a sequence in his DNA program that he would have these extraordinary powers to call for the heavens to be shut up, and they were? Do we have within us the nuclear reactor about life itself, where we came from, our originators? Our DNAs right now, at this particular time in the age of transition, we're at the point of crossing, which we've talked about the digital time codes. The universe, the Milky Way, at the center of our universe, we are at the center of the crossing. Well, that just happens to be a time at 20 and 12, 11, 11, that's GMT time, at 11, 11, December the 21st at 11, 11, and we see this sequence of reactors firing in our receptors that's igniting some kind of a code that we believe we're in the last days. You hear more and more people. I read today that on the pyramid that is measured, it's a measurement in stone, a prophecy, prophetic utterances in stone. It's an altar of Genesis 19:19. Where it says that an altar will be in the center of Egypt, and it will be Yahweh's altar. And this altar is coated in permanent stone settings with the pyramid inch, if you will, what is accepted now as the English, be called the British inch, now it's the English measurement, and it's still in favor. Why is it that that a certain group of people spoke English, a group of people spoke English, each one of them not knowing the other unless they studied the languages, the logistics, and the things now, and the code breakdowns through the internet and through training and through the barriers that we're, the syntax, and the way which words are put together to form phrases and sentences, and the study of the meaning of language forms and the basic rules of grammar, we're now advancing to point to where we reduce, once again, we are firing on the same receptor lines to the digital time codes that at a point in time we have been genetically coded to come back to where we were as it was in the days of Noah, for instance. Great advances. You don't realize this. You read the Bible and you think it was a bunch of primitive people sitting around with stone axes, hitting dinosaurs in the head and dragging them to the cave and cooking them. That ain't what happened. There was, and there is, evidence written on stones, engraved. For instance, I told you about what the pyramids prophesied. Let me tell you. At the deepest level, it's called the descending shaft into the passageway called the pit, P-I-T. At the lowest level, guess what year pops up on the inch line? Guess what year pops up as the lowest point in recorded in the pyramid for times, and it records 500 million years, by the way, in inch forms. But guess what year is the lowest point of that pit? It just happened to be 20 and 10. I don't know why that 20 and 10 popped up right at the lowest point of the pit. Are we, in researching the DNA, we're the Russians are finding out that 90% of our, what our scientists call junk DNA, in other words, sequences that resemble spoken languages. They're now getting into that maybe it's not junk at all, that we've overlooked it. We concentrated on the 10% of the brain that we're using, looking for evidence and gene splicing and things that we've been so busy, and the Russians are looking at the 90%. Hidden in that 90% of junk DNA, they're finding out that although 10% of our DNA is being used for building proteins, the subset of DNA, which is of the interest to Western researchers, only the 10%, that's what they concentrate on. And now the examiners are looking now, and the 90% and the Russian researchers were convinced that nature was not so dumb, or whoever programmed us was not so dumb, that they hid within the other 90% of the molecule. It's considered by Westerners to be junk. The Russians are now convinced that it's not junk. They're now joining linguists and geneticists in a venture to explore that 90% of this junk DNA, and the results and finding clues are simply revolutionary, that they are now getting a better understanding through studying the 90% that they hadn't studied. And according to their findings, listen to this now. Our DNA is not only responsible for the construction of our body, but also serves as a means of data storage and communication. They found that the genetic code, especially in the apparent useless 90%, follows the same rules as our human languages. Now that's interesting. That struck me as very interesting. As who, now the Bible says it was the Creator that came down and said, all right now, here's what we find man doing. His mind is continuously on evil, and nothing's going to be restrained from him. He's going to climb up into the heavens. He's going to find us and their parents, and they're going to come back to mommy and daddy, and they want their inheritance or whatever they were afraid that we would get from them. They were probably afraid that we would murder them because we've turned in to a bunch of pedophiles, as it was in the days of Noah. We've turned into a bunch of monkeys? I mean, our junk DNA that supposedly that contained 90% or 97% of a gene of a chimpanzee. Well, chimpanzees are not so dumb if you want to take a look at what they're capable of doing. Now, they're just finding this out. Matter of fact, the first thing that went out into space was a monkey. I believe it was. Maybe a dog or a monkey, but something in the animal chain that the Russians shot out there, and Sputnik, can't remember exactly what, but I think it was a monkey. I do know that ones went out there. And what were they doing back at the tower? They're building a tower. Could that have been Cape Canaveral? Nothing new under the sun for what is to be has already been. And we, you know, Cape Canaveral in Florida it's world renowned as an advanced space exploration center. Now, the Russians quietly they beat us into space. We find out now that their rockets, that it seems like primitive, they shoot their men up and they stay up and then they exit back onto, they shoot them back onto to dry land. We started out landing them in the ocean and now we've got re-entry airplanes. But they're not durable. The Russians are far ahead of us in launch loads and things of this nature. And they're doing pretty good. They're the main contributors to the space station with payload deliverance. We are now counseling our latest series of rockets, reentry planes, because they're proving that they're too expensive and they don't last too long. But the Russians have never deviated from their plan, and they have. And they have found in their experiments in DNA the apparent useless 90% has an ability to speak to them in ways that the human language speaks to us. And the different languages were imposed upon those who had a similar DNA. We had Russians talking Russians. All of a sudden, they were at one time speaking one language. Are we going back? Are there a programmed time when we go to the Y chromosomes? And these Y chromosomes are creator genes, digital time codes programmed into a set of people that the wise will understand. The Bible said that the wicked will never understand. There is a way that seems right, and these are the digital codes that are programmed into the lost. Now, the Bible said if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them as lost. They can't ever understand it. And when you find yourself just gathering up with a few people that believe like you do, has an understanding like you do. Now, we're in and out. We come together knowing in part. But when enough of us come together, we start figuring things out. Well, that's what they were doing in Genesis 10. They were figuring things out pretty good. And Yahweh had to confound their language. In other words, somebody reprogrammed their DNA sequence. Now, my question to you is, and this is where that I want to take you tonight, was that already programmed into, I mean, did they just have to, was that a sequence, a digital time code, knowing all things, that man would act like that, and he would take that road, and that within his DNA, it was at that point where the DNA exploded, and the receptors received these digital commands to start speaking different languages. I just don't believe that they rounded up everybody on Earth and said, "Okay, you're going to speak Russian, you're going to speak Portuguese, you're going to speak Spanish, you're going to speak Latin, you're going to speak English, so on and so forth." I don't believe that happened. I believe it's already programmed into the genetics. In this junk DNA that I'm talking about, and that science is for the last 20 years since they've been involved in breaking down and mapping the two strands of DNA, which is vertical lines running up and down the tree of good and the tree of evil. That's the code. There's a good strand and there's an evil strand. Ever how that you're wired up? I mean, Cain. He he inherited the a tree of good and evil strand. I mean, he wanted to serve Yahweh. He brought an offering, but he wanted to do it his way. And that's what man was doing in Genesis 10. They were doing it their way. The genetic code, the syntax, the regular grammar. They found that the alkalines, this is what the Russians found, they found that the alkalines of our DNA follow regular grammar and do have a set of rules just like our languages. So somebody, an intelligence, whether it be external or internal. Therefore, human languages did not appear by coincidence, but appear to be a reflection of the inherent patterns in our DNA already programmed in before probably the foundation of the world. Well, wasn't that when your name was written on the Lamb's book? I mean, they wrote it before you ever came here, before you ever done anything, before you ever done any good or any evil. He hated Esau and loved Jacob. Was that programmed into it at the time? Of course it was. The alkalines in our DNA follow that regular grammar. And these are a category of these DNA molecules that are programmed into the very being of our makeup. It was there all along. We're doing just exactly like somebody said we would do. Isn't that strange? Now, I want to ask you a question. Did the Creator or the Creators, now there's good and bad, there's a tree of good and a tree of bad. We just happen to be linked together. In some way, somebody coded this in for we have a carnal mind to do evil. We're slow to do good, but we're quick to do evil. We're programmed that way. And we have to overcome them. These are the inadequacies of our grammar. That's why if you study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, you search the Scriptures daily. And Scriptures are DNA pattern codes. We've been found out in the Bible codes. Some of these things are already programmed. The Russian scientific research explains why that we have these abilities. Some are wise, and some of them are clairvoyant, and somebody has extra ordinary perception. Some are teaching positive things, some are teaching negative, some are born to destroy, and some are born to heal, some are born to tear down, some to build up. All these are in our subset DNA patterns, put in there by somebody that is higher than we are. I mean, we're just like orphan children. We're hunting for mom and dad. That's why we're going out into space. That's why we're out there looking. That's why affirmations of hypnotic or trance states. Remember when Yahweh put Adam into a deep sleep? What was he doing? Well, we know he went into the marrow of his bone and extracted a DNA substance that he created Eve out of. She's a substance. DNA to react to the language of the pattern. That's why that they two shall be one flesh. That's why that you are pray for your soulmate. That's why that you are earnestly contend for the faith. Do not be unequally yoked together with anything. I don't care how pretty they are. I don't care how you are attracted to them. You need to have a strong desire of DNA into you to have the other half of your sequence. It's like, if a woman, she can be the best thing or the worst thing, depending on how she is. I know some women that have literally made a wreck of men. These men had positive DNA. They were destined to be great or to do good things. And a woman would ruin them, that other half of that DNA, because it wasn't compatible with that other set of sequences. And each fires... Similarly, if they're made of one substance, these two shall be one flesh. That means that these two alkaline pairs and languages will speak the same thing. And that's what those are encouraged to do that find each other in a spiritual setting. We're supposed to speak the same language, or the codes that are foreigner receptors and our little atomic reactors. We're generating the same energy and DNA sequence, and our affirmation of spiritual things are of the nine spiritual gifts that are destined for. These are the special people. The structures of DNA alkaline pairs of language receptors to receive the engrafted word to act in such a way as you become sons of the living God. You are cut above. But if you want to get down and run with the herd, then you're going to lower yourself, or you're going to give up your position of DNA sequencing and go to a lower level. Now I want to speak a little bit on. I passed out a DVD of a Japanese scientist, and he had under a microscope, he had a water molecule, and he did experiments when water freezes in the presence of positive emotional energy and or creates discordant structures in the presence of negative emotional energy. And there's a book written about it, and what the beep do we know about ourselves? We know nothing, such as that we are, and that's what the Bible would indicate. Now, when someone would come in and pray for the water and think positive things about it, it would look like the molecule under a microscope would look like a fantastic, just all kinds of beautiful prisms and patterns. After offering a prayer over it, then somebody come in and start cursing and thinking evil and, you know, all kinds of negative stuff, and then they take a picture of it, and it was the most ungodliest looking pattern that you ever seen. DNA has the same effect of accordance to whatever you are, whatever substance you are, whatever that made you. Now, this water was stored in tubes and with writing on them, then they said, "I love you." Or then they would simply say, "I hate you." And then they would sequence the results. And it was mind-boggling. Conclusive evidence that positive operating procedures of thoughts, the same thing, was done in an experiment with plants. The same thing has been known when DNA was taken out of a person and placed in another room. That DNA was still sequenced to that person, although it was separated from his body. It's marvelous to think positive. Now, a guy by the name of Baxter developed a new protocol with plant research. His name was Dr. Cleve Baxter. He conducted groundbreaking studies in the emerging science 40 years ago, and his work is featured in Hollywood with a film of Convergence. That's 40 years. Almost 30 some years ago since the film. Now, he wired up his house plants to a lie detector, a polygraph, and found that they screamed like a human being in shock when they were threatened with burning or evil thoughts about doing something to it. And he later found out it was very, very difficult to have a truly random consciousness effect. And the only way he could achieve it with the plant experiments was when no other human beings were in the building. If there was other DNA sequencing, that plant was made before the surfacing of that DNA. Something affected it, the other DNA. Now, when there was nobody in the building, the expendable living creature, he took shrimp for and tested if the plants would respond to the random death in boiling water. In other words, he boiled shrimp. And the next image that he showed in the sequence of the diabolical contraption that did the deed, plants were much more interested in people in the building than in the random death of the shrimp. Only when the plants were cold and lonely and without any humans to focus on did they scream when the shrimp suddenly died or on a random time circuit it exposed their displeasure. But if there were humans in the building, the plants were content to be serviced or servants representatives of the patterns that's transmitted into their DNA, and their receptors were picking up that they were created for the human or for the DNA that's in the human, basically, to service it. Western researchers have now figured out that DNA patterns can be transmitted to other organisms. Now, isn't that something? Now, in part two of that series, when the Russians were experimenting, they talked about your DNA is changing. This included reanimating the cells that had died in the radiation of Chernobyl. They did tests. They even captured information patterns from a particular DNA molecule and transmitted it into another. The cells were thus reprogrammed with a different DNA foreign sequence. They successfully transformed, for example, frog embryos to salamander embryos simply by transmitting the DNA information patterns. All the information needed to build a salamander was transmitted into the frog embryo without any of the side effects or disharmonies that we get when cutting out and reintroducing single genes from the DNA. This represents an unbelievable world transforming revolution and sensation by simply applying vibration or sound frequencies and language, and that enabled the cloning effects that we have today. You know, the sheep, the pig, you know, whatever. They started with animals. And today we have the ability to clone into, example, the embryos of a frog or a salamander into each other, and without interrupting the DNA sequence of what they were patterned to do, they obey these wave genetics. It obviously has a great influence on the formation of organisms than the biochemical processes of alkaline sequence, which is what we've been doing, splicing genes for the last 40 years. But now we're in a new era that we don't have to splice. We take one and a vibration sequence, and the same thing is being now studied in human effects, where they can take a frequency and change your brain patterns or your DNA. And it's suspected that our DNA can create invisible structured patterns in the vacuum energy of space, thus producing magnetized wormholes. And you know what? If you've ever studied the book of the Black Sun, these experiments in the 40s that went on with the Philadelphia experiment and so on and so forth, of the Tesla frequencies and the generators that he had manufactured, which is now top secret, more secret than the hydrogen bomb. We've been able to create craft that are lighter than air. We know we've got them. It's just a guarded secret, better than the atomic bomb, like I say. What is it that we're trying to go back to? Our own ancestors have these ships that are lighter than air or defy gravity. We're already across that threshold. And it's all because of DNA interfaces with the energy of the vacuum. In other words, the spaceships that are created are human organisms. They're alive. They live. They breathe. The Earth itself, I've told you in this sequence, or this series, that the Earth that we are damaging is crying out like the wounded plant. It's screaming back at the creators that sequenced its DNA, where we are misusing it. And like I said, 20 and 10 has become the lowest point on the bottom of the pit, in the lowest position of any year in the history that's been recorded that they can read on the timeline. And it just so happens to be that these remote viewers have been used through the Philadelphia experiments when they were working. And in the book, The Black Sun, I read this about 20 years ago. They were doing this in the 40s. That they could create wormholes by using a human clairvoyant or someone with extraordinary powers of psychic powers, and they could create a transitional track into the future and read the timeline. Somebody's already laid this frequency out, and they just meet the frequencies and bang. That's how spacecraft travel. They don't travel in space, they travel outside space. They warp it. And this is the next generation of intelligence that's coming down the pike, that we find out that our DNA can create invisible structured patterns in the vacuum of energy and space, thus producing magnetized wormholes. Wormholes are the microscopic equivalents of the so-called Einstein-Rosen bridges in the vicinity of black holes. Now, I want to enter again 20 and 12. It just so happens that the sequence frequency of time that we are the sun exactly will be at the ecliptic plane of crossing at 11:11 on the winter solstice of 20 and 12. And that amazingly there is a black hole lined up like the pyramid shaft at the deepest point that the sun ecliptically is going to cross and shine right down in this black hole, what is demonstrated at the altar of Yahweh in Genesis 19:19, where we have the descending pent or the passageway, that we have the king's chamber and the queen's chamber. We have the 144,000 casing stones, which was the first resurrection of the bride and the bridegroom that came to earth, and he took out of the earth a bride in the first resurrection, coming now for the children who feel like they're orphans. Do you ever feel like you're a stranger and a pilgrim here? I mean, I long for the fellowship of my brothers that talk like I do or think like I do. We like to get together and talk about things that other people say, you people out of your mind. And they imagine the worst things. If we could get in the morphogenetic fields in nature, hypercommunication has been successfully applied for millions of years. The organized flow of life in insects proves dramatically, and modern man knows it only on a much more subtle level as intuition, but we too can retain full use of organized flow vibration. That's the way instincts. You ever want to kill a fly? You watch him and he just sits there and waits for you, and you get your fly swatter and you lift it and you get carefully aimed at it and bang, you miss him. You send him a organized vibration. He picked that up. It's negative. He screamed at him, get the hell out, he's going to kill you. Now, sometimes, you know, with speed and accuracy, you can kill him. But, there, you know, if you pause and give that that flow, that vibration, and it comes out of your body. Like your mind reaches out and says, hey, I'm fixing to kill you, fly. You better get out under my SWAT. Because, you know, you don't want to kill anything that's got life in it. Because even a fly, it's got a reason. And it's an example from nature. When a queen ant is separated from her colony, the remaining worker ants will continue building fervently according to plan. However, if the queen is killed, all work in the colony stops. No ant will know what to do. Now, it is right. The queen ant, as long as she's alive, the morphogenetic fields, although she's separated from the colony, they continue to work because she's alive and they can feel that. When she dies, they stop. Apparently, the queen is transmitting the building plans even when she's far away. Is that our Creator transmitting these building plans of our building blocks into our DNA sequencing before we were ever in our mother's womb? That we were programmed to act and to be a certain way that we're doing? And can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? Now, if the queen transmits the building plans, the group consciousness picks this up with vibrations. That's the insect morphogenetic fields. It's a natural thing. Bees do the same thing. And I taught on bees here. In humans, hypercommunication is most often encountered when one suddenly gains access to information that is outside one's own knowledge base. Such hypercommunication is then experienced as inspiration or intuition, like I was explaining to you when Yahweh put Adam into a deep trance and he altered his DNA. He took a pattern from his DNA code and created another from Adam. In this case, it was the female aspect of the male. And they two shall be one flesh, and there's neither male or female at that point. When he took it, the DNA was recognizing as the ant that it was part of the master. In this case, Adam would be compared as the queen bee or the king bee. But when a sequence, a helpmeet, came from his body, then that sequencing started functioning on the foreign receptors, they too shall be one flesh. That's why Adam gave up his seed in glory and was expelled voluntarily. He was not deceived. She was deceived, and Adam chose to live with her because she was bone of his bone and flesh of his. It's like the DNA cried for her and longed for her. It's something that we're just now getting into. It's a flood of information in our DNA codes that we are not extracting because we are only using 10% of the brain, and the other, which has been considered junk, is no longer now considered junk because it's the phantom effect. Even if we don't use it, it's still there. Hypercommunication occurs, and one can observe supernatural phenomena in the DNA as well as in the human when we're separated from our own DNA. Although it's considered junk, it will fire its receptors and send us messages. And vice versa. We can never be separated from our Creator or our Creators any more than we can be created from ourselves. Although we at this point consider ourselves at times, I do and you do too, that we're orphans or we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. But there's going to come a time when we're going to open up a monitor screen and we're going to form a revealing sequence of our DNA for its high purposes. At the point of crossing in 20 and 12, it could be possible as we go into the new age, which is the Aquarian Age. You've read about it, and it's long been prophesied it was coming, and here it is. At the point of crossing, December the 21st in 2012, we have a sequence event that the sun is directly in the center of the universe at the point of crossing. And that'll bring up my next message for tomorrow night on Planet X. Just as there is a point of crossing, a X marks the spot in the center of the universe where the sun is right over a black hole in the center of the universe. It's amazing. And the sun is represented like a blue eye. It's like the all-seeing eye, or the DNA sequencing of the master code. It's like that the heavens are written in a master code, and if we would study the heavens like the Russians are studying the sequencing of the DNA and the 90% of the junk, which we always consider to be junk, and out that hidden within the junk is the master key to our codes. Once we solve this wave pattern, this is like when they had the physical DNA in a solution. The phantom DNA was created in the chamber, and they removed the DNA sample, and the wave pattern did not disappear because it was still there, because the other DNA functioned in the other solution. Is that what happens when we die? Do we go back into the master code, the digital time codes that are programmed in us before the world was? Electromagnetic disruption? Large-scale DNA phantom effects? Do you still feel your ancestors in your genetics? I do. I know I'm pulling the load for them right now. I'm their flagship. I'm the best thing they've got. And if I fail them, I fail myself. Because I know that at the end of my road, I'm going to be gathered with my fathers. And when the Bible says that, it means you're going to be gathered back with your DNA patterns. You're forever what you are. A leopard can't change his spots. It's an electromagnetic field. It's a torsion field, which is the name that the Russians give for the field whose effects they have referred to as creating micro wormholes. I know in subconscious mind, your subconscious mind can leave, and when you go outside your own field, you can look back at where you came from, and it looks like a beehive. You've got the wormholes. And each one represents a soul. Each one represents a collective, neutral, acidic pattern that is typed into your sequence. And although it's separated, it's never separated because your DNA is alive. You're alive forevermore. You're not going to die. When you're gathered back to your fathers, you're going back to the flagship of the original DNA from which you came. My sheep is the DNA pattern. That's what he was talking about. They know my voice. They know my vibration. They will not respond to anything. Although humans have lost their hyper-communication to individual, we're now, at this point, seeming to gain it back. Are we entering into a phase programmed at 20 and 12 at the point of crossing? Are we entering and ushering across a threshold of a new beginning of a pattern of DNA purpose that is higher than ourselves? Are we going to lose our materialistic minds? I mean, we bought into this thing that I've talked about, the baby boomers, that's been ripped off. You see, the devil is waiting to steal whatever he's convinced you in a materialistic way. You work hard and be good slaves for us, and we'll give you a reward. We'll give you a 401k. But you invested in our stock markets, and we'll have it for you. And when you retire, you're going to have all this money. That's a good sales pitch. And they convinced 40 million of us to do that. And then right before we were to gain entrance into the benefits of our retirement, they stole it. Was that a lesson to our DNA not to trust the devil? He's a liar. He promised you all of these pie-in-the-sky deals through the outward man, and you know that life is only in the inward. Our DNA can upload data into the network. If we feed proper data into the wormhole or the network, we can retrieve the same thing that we have sowed is that which we reap, and we can establish contact with other participants in the network or back to the fathers. Do you expect when it says he's going to say, well done, who's that going to say well done? It's your fathers. It's your DNA code sequences. You carry billions of them in your bloodstream. Your makeup. You're carrying these, your flagship. I got to get off here. My time is coming down. Man, I really love you tonight and praise Yahweh. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. We need your help. Give us some support. Send us your tithes and offerings. Dr. Gary would appreciate it, and so would I. You can contact Dr. Gary at 1-877-289-7439. Brother Paul, or contact in Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Or you can email me at buddy1, that's the numeral 1, buddy1, lowercase, at centurytale.net. You can go to our website tonight. Brother Bob is up. We're supposed to be up on our Edcast, but my computer malfunctioned about 2 minutes before we got on. I didn't have time to reload it. So we're not being recorded. I hope Bob's recording us tonight on WWRB. Call me, area code 423-626-2172. Our website is oneyahweh.com, oneyahweh.com. And my mailing information is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Got an early start. Yahweh bless you, and Yahweh keep you, and I love you.
Black train a-coming, coming down the track. You gotta ride that little black train, but it ain't gonna bring you back. You may be a barroom gambler and cheat your way through life, but you can't cheat.